New system? No.
All right. Well, it's 5:30-ish. I will call the meeting of the Public Works Committee to order Wednesday, October 12th, 2022, 5:30 p.m., Alloway Village Hall. Number one on the agenda is to modify and or adopt the agenda as presented. Do I have a motion?
I might as well start. So move.
Second.
All right. We have a motion to adopt as presented and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Motion passes. Number two, approve the minutes from the June 20th and September 14th meetings. You'll find those attached. Peruse those for a minute and see if there's any additions or corrections.
You're going to do them separately?
We could. Let's take the June 20th meeting minutes first. I'll accept a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to adopt those minutes as presented. All in favor, please say aye.
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 And then we'll move on to the minutes from September 14th, 2022 meeting. You'll see those in front of you. I'm going to review those quickly. And I would accept a motion to accept those as well.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second.
So.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 All right, let's move on to announcements. And I think I'll defer to Sean.
Can I ask you a question before we go too far? Because I notice it's not on here. No roll call. Do we need one today because of our... or not?
That's a good point. I don't know. Let's see, do we normally?
I don't think we've ever done it at Public Works.
Yeah, I don't think we have either.
No? Okay.
The minutes show who
okay.
was here, right. But good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we do it at village board meetings.
We do it at plan commission. So that's,
do you? Okay.
Yeah, that's why I was curious.
Well, maybe we put that on the agenda to be consistent with other meetings. Okay, for next meeting then, for the November.
Sorry, I just was...
No, not a problem. Sean, announcements, please.
Yeah, I'm sad to announce that Cole Erickson, his last day will be tomorrow. He had... provided me his formal resignation. I think it was early last week. Cole had started early in September, right after Labor Day week. He's been with the village for almost 3 weeks, 4 weeks now. He has done an outstanding job. He will be leaving the village to go work for a consultant.
Was he full-time, part-time?
He was full-time.
Okay.
And he's going to work with a consultant primarily to go out and survey projects. He has a goal of obtaining his professional land survey license.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he'd like to start his own business. So
We did meet
this morning, Brad, Jeff, Angie, myself, to begin the process to get out an ad to hire another engineering tech. So hopefully in the next 4 to 6 weeks, we've got interested applicants and hopefully we've hired another engineering tech.
Was he a 2-year TC or somewhere?
Yep.
So those people may be available, we hope.
We're sending it over.
All righty.
Memory fails me. I remember when you hired him and you had this little itch, being fearful that he wasn't going to be around long. At least that's the sense I got at the time, so it's too bad.
Probably weren't thinking
3 weeks. Because he was, you thought he was such a great guy, which he probably is.
He is,
that you were kind of excited about it, but with some reservation, you might say, so...
Would that bring a considerable increase in money, or is it more for the experience and the path to...
For him, I think it was the experience that he wanted, and with the goal of getting his professional land survey license in 5 years and the hope of starting a business.
Well,
the goal of starting a
business. Admirable.
Yeah.
All right, B...
Weather permitting, fall cleanup will start October 17th and end November 17th. Just a friendly reminder that leaves and yard waste need to be placed behind the curb, not in the street. And
And can that be co-mingled with brush and branches and stuff?
Well, not even just brush and branches. We added plant stalks because for people with significant gardens, like a tomato plant and has a big stalk, yeah. And what the truck that's the vacuum truck can't pick those up, right?
Right. If they're left, they're at the curb, they're
hole.
They're hole-like. Yeah, they're a challenge to pick up, suck up.
Yeah.
So do we try to use the vacuum truck on the garden waste and lawn waste?
Yeah, for the most part, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if there's stalks like pumpkin, those pumpkin runners that they kind of go forever, that would not go up the vacuum.
I would think that we probably could pick that up, suck that up. Yeah.
I mean, so in a sense, they're garden waste, but kind of a heavy-duty garden waste, you know.
We want the garden waste and the leaves to be in separate piles. The leaves are an issue. We can suck those up. Garden waste, if it's a heavier material, then we can struggle with that. We do send out a small pile truck, and if we're having a hard time collecting them with the leaf sucker truck, we'll come back through with a small pile truck to pick that up.
I think you told me last year too. Just cut it all up.
Yeah, and if they cut it up in smaller pieces, typically never an issue with the leaf sucker truck.
I think I took a pair of hedge trimmers to my pile of like pumpkin things.
Chainsaw. All right, moving on then to item number 4, public appearances. There's no one present. Did anyone communicate with us or wish to? No communications, okay. Moving on, new business, number 5, discussion/action regarding the 2023 Public Works budget.
I'm going to do my best to keep this to a high level. Monday of next week, we will be having a budget workshop to go through next year's budget in a lot more detail. But next year's Public Works budget includes an engineering budget, street, sewer utility, water utility, stormwater utility, equipment replacement budgeting. This year's engineering budget is estimated at $91,000 for the most part. It will match this year's budget. Some noteworthy engineering budget items include I have budgeted $9,000 for professional services, which would include soils investigations, construction material testing, and miscellaneous engineering task, primarily drafting assistance when we need it. It also includes $7,400 for GIS mapping, Autodesk, Civil 3D, and Adobe Acrobat Pro subscription fees. The budget also includes a partial funding of a seasonal inspector for next year, and that position helps us with GIS and engineering needs. The total cost for the seasonal engineering inspector is $12,500, but that cost is allocated amongst a handful of accounts. Do want to say this year's budget had included a joint purchase of a GPS unit. We had done that with Howard. That has been a success. We share that unit with them, but we've used it to go out and determine construction quantities. It has expedited that process. We've used it to go out and survey and come up with quantities for next year's street resurfacing project. We've used it for GIS mapping purposes, and we use it for the as-built in of our construction project. So Howard has, you know, they have since told me that if they knew how much they were going to use it, they would have bought their own. But I'm glad that we shared the expense. Hasn't been an issue. We typically take it for a few weeks, and then they take it for a few weeks, and it's worked out really well.
That's a good thing, right?
I mean, yep.
Was Cole running it?
Yeah, he was.
So he was actually running it, and he's...
he was home here for about 4 weeks.
But, I mean, isn't that like what he was looking to do?
I think that that had intrigued him when he came in for his interview. This summer we had hired a seasonal inspector. Mm-hmm. That person was trained on how to operate that device. And Grayson has taught Cole, and both of them have used it. We did our best to try to convince him to stay.
Yeah.
I told him, you know what, I'll find a way to get you that experience. And work with our neighbors. We can work with the pier in Green Bay. You could go out and survey with them. Somehow we'd work it out. On our street reconstruct projects, we hire a consultant to go out and topo. I would have built that into their agreement, into their contract. But unfortunately, he has decided to move on. But we're going to miss him. Street department budget. The estimated budget for next year is, roughly speaking, $2.5 million. An increase of approximately $100,000 compared to this year's budget. Some noteworthy public works budget items include, for revenue, our general transportation aid funding went up about $20,000 compared to this year. Our recycling grant funding has been fairly consistent. We anticipate receiving $98,500 next year. We do anticipate having to pay to dispose of recyclables next year. This year, we had been paid by Brown County for our recyclables. I anticipate that we'll net, roughly speaking, about $35,000 in the sale of recyclables. The market has fluctuated. Earlier this year, we were getting paid about $80 a ton. That has steadily gone down. Just recently, I think in August, we were being paid about $10 or $15 a ton, and in September, October, we're paying to get rid of it. So, we will
you
be
want to pile it up and wait, huh? Futures.
I think about that. Yeah,
is that overall or is that just paper?
Oh, that's overall. Yeah,
because paper was 170 at one point last year a ton.
Oh,
and now it's shot to the bottom. In fact, we got solid waste meeting next.
Oh, that's
Monday. Yeah. So you can thank me, and then you can beat the crap out of me.
Which do you want first?
Well, it helps my taxes, so yeah. I'm over there. Send them money.
Expenditures for the street department. We'll be purchasing salt next year at an estimated cost of $28,500. This is an increase over of what we had paid this year. We had paid, roughly speaking, just shy of $10,000 for salt. We have been fortunate. Our past 2 to 3 winters have been fairly mild, so we had used less salt and we had purchased less salt. So we'll be purchasing salt this year to
how's our salt barn out here? Are we looking at something there?
It does need to be repaired. We had worked with a structural engineer this year. They had put together plans to repair that back wall. We're hoping to put together a contract yet this year and get that out with the hope of making those repairs spring of next year.
All righty.
Our street maintenance budgets will remain the same for the most part. We've typically budgeted $50,000 for the patching of repair of potholes. We'll continue to do that next year. We've budgeted $25,000 for crack filling. Our paving budget, I'm hoping that that doesn't change. Budgeted for $500,000 for next year. That was our funding this year as well. And it has been for the last few years, at least since I've been here. The budgeted amount for sidewalk maintenance, I have decreased that from $20,000 to $10,000 next year. Our cost to clear sidewalk in the winter has gone up, and that's because we've been constructing a fair amount of sidewalks. Our street lighting budget, it was increased to $10,000 from $190,000 to $200,000 next year. Our WPS bills have increased. The cost of energy has increased.
Question.
Yeah.
Don't the residents shovel? Or are you just talking about sidewalks that the village has dedicated as what you're going to maintain?
It's a shared responsibility. In general, when we receive 6 inches or less, it's the homeowner's responsibility. When we receive 6 inches or more, it's the village's responsibility to go out and
really
clear the sidewalk.
And then we have all the troubled sidewalks, the mm-hmm. Webster, Riverside
yeah.
Drive, and
yeah.
school roads.
With the exception of problem area sidewalks, and those are the sidewalks that are right up against the back of curb, Webster Avenue,
yeah.
Riverside Drive.
Brookridge,
thank you, Alloway Avenue. We go out any time it snows to clear those because it is a burden on
the
homeowner. Right,
yeah.
It's a back and forth thing.
Well, East River, now you do have a boulevard or a terrace there. Will we still do that because it's a safe route over 6 inches?
No, it will be the homeowner's responsibility.
Okay. But over 6 inches, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Under six, it'll be the homeowner's responsibility. Over six, we'll go and plow.
Okay.
I just lost that. That's here. I gotta log back in. I'll need that in a little bit. Our disposal cost, our garbage and recycling disposal cost, overall will increase $40,000 compared to this year's budget. Our tipping fee to dispose of garbage will go up from $47.83 this year to $52.25 next year. That's a result of the construction of the south landfill and inflation cost. I had indicated earlier that it will cost money to dispose of recyclables. We anticipate paying $20 a ton to dispose of recyclables next year. Our sewer utility, if you recall, earlier this year we had completed a rate case because of that had increased our operating revenues by, roughly speaking, $400,000. And I probably should have confirmed that with Julie before I said that, but I will before Monday just make sure that that is, roughly speaking, what we had generated comparison to last year's budget. Next year we're forecasting an operating expense of $2.72 million, roughly speaking, a $42,000 increase compared to this year. That's primarily because of New Water. They're proposing about a 5% increase to treat wastewater. Our treatment cost will be approximately $2.1 million, roughly speaking, about a $100,000 increase compared to this year's estimated year-end cost.
Is that passed on?
Yes, yeah.
Thank you.
No pun intended.
Thank you very much.
Water department, we had, similar to the sanitary utility, we had completed a rate case for the water utility as well earlier this year. We're forecasting revenue in the amount of $3.74 million next year. Our anticipated operating cost for next year is $3.38 million, a decrease of roughly speaking $55,000 compared to this year's budget. We have been using less water, and that is because of the plumbing improvements that have been made, primarily the plumbing improvements that have been made at the Green Bay Correctional Institute. They have implemented plumbing controls,
flush controls
on the number of times inmates can flush their toilets. So we've been seeing a fairly significant decrease in the amount of water used there, in the amount of somewhere between 15 and 20 million gallons. So stormwater utility, our projected operating cost next year is $634,000. Really no huge change to our operating cost in the stormwater utility. Are there any questions?
So where's the good news? This is all
pretty negative.
And yet, you know, having been privy to most of those discussions, it's like, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, water, sewer, yeah. Recyclables, everything. Any questions? Do we need any action on that item? We do not. Okay. Anything else on item number 5? Moving on, item number 6, discussion action, 2023 street reconstruction proposed. Roadway widths.
I'm going to bring up, we have started the design of next year's street reconstruction project. The topo for the project has been completed. The consultant right now has started to lay out the street projects before they get too far. Before we get too far, I want to make sure that we review the existing and proposed roadway widths. In general, we're matching the existing paved roadway widths. We'll be reconstructing Karen from Lytle to Greenwald, Roselawn Boulevard from where we left off last year to Webster Avenue, Alloway Terrace from Riverside Drive to the end of the street, and Jackson Street from Alloway Terrace to Derby. On the screen in front of you here are typical sections for the street projects. This is an existing typical section for Karen Lane. The existing roadway width is 31 feet from back of curb to back of curb. This is, for the most part, somewhat standard throughout the village. This is what we typically find for a roadway width. We're proposing to match that existing paved width. 2 13.5-foot lanes in each direction, 2-foot curb on each side for a back of curb to back of curb width of 31 feet. Move on to...
Because Karen's not a through street, or what the term is. I mean, it goes from Libel down, kind of dead ends eventually.
Right, it's a local residential street, okay. Low volume roadway.
No sidewalks going in there? That would
no sidewalks.
Be the street replacement.
No. Alloway Terrace. Alloway Terrace is somewhat narrower than what we typically find for a paved width throughout the village of Alloway. The existing back to curb to back to curb width is 24 feet. That allows for a 10-foot lane in each direction. We're proposing to match that existing width. That is a, you know, I shouldn't say it's a tight area, but there are a lot of trees that, a lot of mature trees along the street now, and if we were to widen the roadway to something wider than the existing condition, it would result in the loss of trees. And there is no reason to make that street any wider than what it is today. It is a dead-end roadway. It's not a high-volume roadway. I haven't heard from any of the residents on that street to change the width.
I think you would if you tried.
If I were to increase the width, yes. Yeah, there would be impacts associated.
We adjusted the parking on there a couple of years.
You're right.
Yes. Coming around the corner and be like... Yeah.
We have restricted where one can park at the intersection of Alloway Terrace and Riverside Drive. There is currently no parking on the north side from one end of the street to the other end, from Riverside Drive to the termini of the street. So that helps.
Yeah.
Parking is only allowed on one side. So
what's the standard in the village for a through normal residential street?
31 feet.
Oh, that's narrow.
Yeah, 31 feet is what is, for the most part, fairly standard throughout the village.
Most of them are 37 back-to-back with an 18-foot each side, so there's room for parking, plus without having a vehicle have to go into the other lane. So that's why I was asking whether the normal streets are 31 or 32. That's
normally what you'll find in the village, you'll find a 31-foot wide roadway, back of curb, and a 60-foot right-of-way.
Yeah, these are 70, though. That's why.
Well,
70 is meant for the 37-foot. That's why I asked.
With a 31-foot back of curb, the back of curb width, what it will provide is two 11-foot lanes in each direction, and it will allow for parking on one side. And that will accommodate at 8-foot width. And that's typically what you see on a local roadway, on a local residential street. It's not very often that you get cars parked directly across from one another. So when they're staggered down the street, in essence, you have the two lanes. They're low volume, low speed roadways. So somebody shouldn't be driving over 25 miles per hour on a local residential street. All right.
The bigger the road, the higher the speed.
Yes. Jackson Street. I was surprised by the width of Jackson Street. I was expecting a 31-foot width. It's 30 feet back of curb to back of curb. The street functions fine the way that it is. I'm not proposing to make it any wider. Let's match the existing width. And again, there are trees that are within close proximity of the back of curb. If we were to make it six inches wider to meet what we typically find in the village, it would have some impacts. It could be widened, but again, it's a low volume, low speed roadway, and there's really no reason to widen it.
Why is it 80 feet right away? That's unreasonable.
It's
unbelievable.
Right.
Doesn't seem that wide going through there.
The roadway width is...
The roadway width is only...
The right-of-way.
Oh, the right-of-way.
The right-of-way is 80, which is really unusual.
Village code...
There's a few of them like that.
Village code requires 70 feet, but you'll find that most village streets have a 60-foot right-of-way. Roselawn Boulevard. The reconstruction of Roselawn Boulevard will require two typical sections, one outside of the boulevards or island areas, and one within the boulevards or island areas. Outside of the islands, we're proposing to match the existing roadway width. It currently has a 37-foot back of curb width. We're going to match that existing roadway width.
And in the area where there's not the boulevards or islands, that'll stay the same too?
That's what we have up in front of you here. Outside of the boulevard and island areas, we're going to match the existing roadway width. And that existing width is 37 feet from back of curb to back of curb. Within the island areas, we will be matching the existing paved width. However, to accommodate the construction of sidewalk in the future on the north side, we'll be reducing the island width on the north side by 2 feet to add to the terrace width on the outside on the north side of the street.
Which we did on the other half.
And that's what we had done last year. We're proposing to engineer and construct Roselawn Boulevard no different than how we had done it last year.
But just an odd question, because I drive it a lot. Why isn't the areas where you go from the island to the straight through without island, why do we allow parking in those areas? Everybody parks, and it's very difficult to get through that transition between the island and the straight section. That's because people park right there, and the curve transition. It narrows it down quite a bit.
Well, there, what do we have? We have 21 feet where you are in an island area where you have an island. The roadway, the clear width of the roadway is 20 feet in each direction.
Right.
20 feet. That is wide enough to accommodate.
Which is wide enough, but when you're going into that curve section, it tends to narrow up, and people park there, and all of a sudden you don't have your width anymore, and it's almost like they park there so that
it'll slow down traffic.
But it's a dangerous issue because there's people walking there, and I was just kind of curious why.
I think more than anything, there's enough space there for parking in that transition area.
Yeah,
but I think what it does is it reduces that radius.
The radius on the inside and the outside are different. That's what's causing part
increases,
of the problem.
It increases that angle to get into the island roadway section.
Right.
There's enough space, but you have to slow down.
But the island, the outside doesn't have the same, it's not on the same radius as the inside. So the inside island curve is totally different geometry than the outside.
Right.
And that's what causes the issue.
Right.
So
it's not so much roadway width, it's more alignment than anything. Yeah.
I came up there today and had to pass a garbage truck. You know, I thought, well, this is fairly tight.
Any questions on the typical section? Any more questions on the typical sections?
This you want to take a motion on?
Well, no, everybody should cover that. The village's minimum roadway width by code is 33 feet from back of curb to back of curb. We can reconstruct streets to less than that standard, but I need an exception. I need a resolution from the village board to do so. And the village street width code was included in your packet, and the resolution was also included. So
I would move we approve the resolution to go to the village board at the next meeting.
And that, we have a copy of that in here, correct?
Yeah, I need, right.
All right, we have a motion to that effect. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any further discussion on that? And was that motion clear enough, Sean, that we can take that forward?
And why don't we change the requirements that
we need to?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make, because I think we're putting ourselves into an issue where if something happens.
So the motion made was
to get this one done.
Yeah.
The motion that's within the packet for the existing roadway widths for Karen Lane, Alloway Terrace, and Jackson Street.
So the recommendation to the village board would be to move ahead with the proposed roadway widths.
Yes, and maintain them.
And to approve the resolution to allow for an exception to the standard.
Okay.
All right. Is the you still okay with the second of that?
Yeah.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. And then would we want to put that on a future agenda item?
Well, just talking out loud, it seems like the minimum should be the 33, except if you're reconstructing a road and it's in the opinion of the Public Works Director that it can match what's there, then it should be allowed. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I don't know if you can do that or not.
I would argue that it should be 31.
And well, then I'd say we should change it.
To the 31.
Yeah. So I agree with you, Jim.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we can do that.
Yeah.
I live in Bellevue, and I shouldn't say it's a new subdivision, but it was constructed in the early 2000s.
Okay.
And the roadway widths in that subdivision is 31 feet from back of curb to back of curb. And if you happen to get two cars parked directly across from one another, that forces people to slow down, mm-hmm. and then it becomes a one-way, you know, one-lane, one-way roadway just in that one
sure.
area. And then it opens back up, and you know.
So it does slow traffic.
It does, yeah. Calms traffic.
My hunch is that everybody, it used to be 37 foot Bellevue, Ashwaubenon, Alloway,
yeah.
period. My hunch is the cost of construction has been playing a heavy role.
Not only that,
what's happening.
Maintenance.
And maintenance
cost as well.
Yeah, yeah. Snow plowing, amount of water, runoff, all of
right.
this.
And the ones that are functioning were perfectly fine,
yeah.
like these streets that are low volume,
yeah.
low everything else, there's really no overwhelming reason to
right.
widen them.
Yeah, and it could change the characteristics of that street.
Absolutely.
So,
especially some of our older neighborhoods, they just can't, I would go as far
I'm
as to say
I'm just wondering
they can't
if this
accommodate.
Is if what the standard is on the highway manual, if 37.
I haven't
looked at it. I just wonder what that is. It'd be interesting to look and see. You might want to look at
it. I have. I think
it's going to be wider
than
that.
It will be wider than that. You're probably right.
Because they're traffic movers.
Right. Right. They're designing collectors and arterials,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I think it's 36 feet or 37.
Yeah. Right. 37 back-to-back or 36
face-to-face, yeah. Face
All righty, then. So we have, we'll go forward that to the village board. Item number 7, discussion action regarding HydroCore residential proposal for cross-connection control services.
Now, this was just recently discussed at the October 4th village board meeting. I had reviewed it with the village board. They had suggested some minor edits in to bring the agreement back. A little background information on this. In the past, our building and plumbing inspector has gone out to provide this service, to go out and provide residential cross-connection control inspections. We're mandated by the DNR to go out and complete these inspections. We had started in 2015 when we had installed new village residential meters. And we have a 20-year period to go out and complete these inspections. And our plan, our schedule is to go out and inspect, roughly speaking, about 300 a year. So with the plumbing and building inspector's resignation, which had happened earlier this year, we have lost that ability to go out and complete these inspections. Got out and reached out to HydroCorp. We currently contract with them to complete our commercial cross-connection control inspections, and asked them to provide us a one-year contract. They had done that. This contract includes the scheduling of the inspections. It includes the inspection itself, the proper documenting of the in-house inspection, customer support, and DNR reporting. The cost of this one-year contract is $18,600. We had written into the contract, in the event that we have to go out and re-inspect, it would be an additional cost that they would charge us if we ask them to go and do that. But we do have, we do have other staff that are trained to take, to go out and provide this inspection. So if we have availability, we will go out and do that. There were a couple typos that the village board had asked that I clean up. I have since done that. In your packet is the updated or revised agreement. I'm looking for a recommendation from the Public Works Committee to the village board to approve.
And there was something about the dates being 12 months, but not starting November 1?
Right. Yeah, we had, it was a one-year contract, however, the length of the contract itself was 14 months. It was a little confusing. It is a one-year contract. They had proposed a 14-month period because I had asked them to take on some inspections this year, and we've run out of time to do that. And they were just going to, have that included in the $300 that they were going to provide next year. So I had to avoid any confusion, I had asked them to keep this to 12 months to coincide with 1 year, the 1 year contract, and the amount of $18,600.
And they're good with that, huh?
Yeah, they're fine with that. The village board had also directed us to look into whether or not we have the ability to provide this service we had in the past in the future. And Brad and I, Trevor, Mike, and Matt, we may have the ability in the future to provide residential cross-connection inspections. But right now, the person that was just recently hired doesn't have the training or the experience, and we'd want them to be properly trained before they go out and begin these inspections. And Trevor had indicated to us that there are a number of other things that they need, that this person has to get certified in first, and that's going to take time. So
I'll make a motion to I guess would be the right term, to recommend to the village board the approval of professional services agreement with Hydro Corp.
Great.
Do you have a second? I'll second it.
So I have a question, just a follow-up question. So they send an individual into a home?
Yes.
What do they look for? I'm thinking about, because I lived here my entire life, and I'm thinking of my dad's basement. And I know that it's cross-connected. There's no way you're going to find that out. How do they find it out?
For kitchen and bathroom fixtures, the DNR would allow a brochure be handed to that property owner to make them aware of potential cross-connections. In the basement, they're looking for, they're making sure that there's an air gap between potentially your water softener, but your water heater in the drain.
So this is not clear water issue. This is for cross connects.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I was going to say there's no way they're going to find half of what they're looking for if they're looking for clear water doing inspections. But this is for a cross connect, like in my case in a condo. We have an irrigation system, and probably 10 years ago the village came back and said, you need to have this
device put in because you need to get rid of the cross connect to the soul.
Yep, right. Yep.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I wanted to confirm.
So a typical home then would need something done?
Yeah, you've got outside spigots.
Yeah.
Do they have?
We have the little
vacuum breakers on those.
Yeah.
Is there the gap between a water softener?
In the drain.
In the drain.
Yeah.
There needs to be a gap there.
Water probably heater? A sink with a disposal or whatever, yep. I think.
Well, because they just go downstairs. So if you've got the slosh tub.
Yeah.
Is it the same? How is it
hooked
up? Does it have the vacuum breaker on it too, I think? No.
And then shower, the wand shower things.
In a basement shower or anywhere?
Anywhere. They even looked at my upstairs one. No. When the gentleman came through.
More so bathtub, right, than the shower. But
well, the shower's in the bathtub.
Yep. yeah. In some cases, yeah.
Especially in our older houses.
They want to make sure that the drain is below the faucet.
Yeah.
They want that air gap. Outdoor spigots that you have, the vacuum breaker.
Yep. Is that sticks out about like that above the...
Yes. Okay. You just screw on and then put your hose on. Yeah.
So could it cost the typical homeowner much?
It could be if they discover there's lots of potential plumbing that needs to be addressed.
We do. The inspector does come with a handful of vacuum breakers or spigots, and we provide those to the resident at no cost.
Okay.
Just to avoid a reinspection of that property.
So they put them on a spigot, is what you're saying?
An outdoor spigot.
Really?
Yeah. If they don't currently have one, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll bring those with us to just avoid having to come back. Yeah.
Well, the freezerless ones have them. I mean,
right.
Yeah. So it's, but most homes, the older ones, wouldn't have freezerless.
No.
No. Okay.
Yeah, how many have we done so far, historically?
That's a good question. We just pulled a spreadsheet because we're looking at where we probably should. We're looking at where we should direct HydroCorp to get started, what area of the village they should get started in. We're currently mapping that right now. Between the period of 2018 and this year, I think we had completed about 600 or 700 inspections.
Whoa.
We're behind, but during COVID, DNR had advised us to suspend residential inspections. So.
Hmm. Okay. And would it make sense to start with the older neighborhoods or newer? I mean, it doesn't make
somebody other than mine.
Yeah, right. Yeah. North of wherever. All right. Well, moving right along.
We got to vote on that, Jeff.
Oh. We did vote. Okay. So we had a motion,
a second.
Any further discussion? Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to discussion number 8, report regarding amendment number 2 of Liable Street Engineering Agreement.
This item I had taken to the Village Board earlier this month. The consultant Strand Associates had expressed the need to get this approved right away so that they could continue with the design of an engineering of Liable Street. This is a second amendment to the original contract. Our engineering contract with Strand. It is a three-party agreement between us, Strand, and the DOT. We have Village of Alloway, the DOT. We have already reviewed this multiple times. We had gone back and forth. There's some negotiating that took place, and we found common ground, and this was just recently approved by the Village Board. But the reason for this amendment was for the redesign of storm sewer between Mission and Alloway Avenue. When I had reviewed the sizing that Strand had completed, I thought that it was that their resulting storm sewer pipe size was larger than what was needed. They were proposing a pipe size that was larger than the downstream system that this storm sewer was going to drain into. They had used a particular method to come up with flows. I used another. I talked to Brad and a few residents on the street and within that street project to find out there really hasn't been any flooding, so to speak, on Libel. And I had somewhat questioned the proposed size of the storm sewer. They were under contract to size in accordance to DOT standards, they were following DOT standards, and I had to tell them and direct them to do otherwise.
So they were at?
They were at a 36-inch pipe size.
And currently, downstream were 2 or 24?
I had directed them to design or install a 24-inch diameter system.
Were they on a 20-year? Were they doing 20?
They were
doing 10?
10-year, yes.
So what is yours down?
24. The existing pipe is...
No, but I mean what year design?
I had run the calculations for a 10-year, and I had found that I'd have to look back at my design notes, but you know, a 24-inch pipe could plus or minus handle that flow. More than anything, there were two things that really restricted what we could install in that area. One, the depth of the connecting, the storm sewer that we were connecting to, limited the pipe size that we could install to a 24-inch pipe. In that area, we have a low point, and it's away from where we outlet our storm sewer, our Libel Street storm sewer. That area connects to the Mission Street trunk line system, and that drains out to East River Drive. What was the other thing? Just talking with the people out there, there really was no record of any flooding that we were aware of. The deputy public works director from Green Bay lives on Libel in that area, and he's never witnessed any flooding.
So he's signing it off and putting a stamp on there?
No, he's not.
As a resident?
But they haven't asked me to do that, but I had to direct them to install a 24-inch pipe. Yeah. The existing pipe is 12-inch.
Hmm.
So what we're proposing is an improvement over what is currently.
So now it's going to flood something downstream because of water.
Well, we're not increasing the downstream pipe size.
I know, but now it's going to
get there quicker.
More will get there. So
well, I don't know if that will happen. I don't believe that will happen. We've added some storage. I think we've overall improved that system. So.
Then we had that sinkhole, was that 2 years ago on Blackhawk or wherever it was, right around the corner there?
That was a water break,
okay. That was south of Mission, I think, right?
Yeah, it's...
A Blackhawk, right, yeah.
It's just south.
Yes, yeah.
But this would not relate it anyway, so...
So the amendment also includes... we had hired McMahon to review the condition of the culvert pipe that crosses Leonard Libel just south of Optimus Park. I thought it would be best to have McMahon, if that culvert needed to be replaced, to have them design and size that. McMahon does all of our stormwater management modeling, and they would be best equipped to do that. So this amendment includes the incorporation of McMahon's plans into Strand's plan set. It also includes if there are any wetland impacts associated with the replacement of that existing culvert pipe, the identification of those wetlands and the reporting that would come with that. It also includes the drafting of proposed storm laterals. The First Amendment had included some of that work. This amendment includes more so the construction details that would come with the design of storm laterals, the installation of storm laterals between 172 and Alloway Avenue, and preparing any special provisions that may be needed for that work.
Does state pay for that? 80%. Or are you on your nickel?
My understanding that the state will pay for the design, that is an eligible expense under the...
Even though it's laterals versus, really?
It's stormwater related.
They must be softening in their old age or something.
They have informed me that the cost to engineer, to design is eligible. The cost to construct, to install is not.
Unless it's serving the street.
The cost of the amendment is just over $14,000. It will bring the overall engineering agreement cost up from $590,000 and change to $604,000. As you indicated, we have a Federal Surface Transportation Block Grant for this project with an 80-20% cost share. So, and it does include engineering costs. So
our share would be about 2,800 of the 14 grand, roughly
20%.
Yep.
But we really don't have a decision to make. I mean, it's kind of
right. It's done.
Yeah. Okay. Any more discussion on that, or I would entertain a motion.
I don't think you need to.
Well, we don't. Okay. So much for that. Moving on, number 8, report regarding amendment number 2 of Libel Street Engineering Agreement.
We're at number 9.
TDS, utility project, storm laterals.
Our favorite subject.
So we had discussed this at September Public Works Committee meeting. It has been discussed. It was discussed at the October 4th Village Board meeting. As you know, TDS is looking to install broadband fiber optics to every home in Alloway. They had started earlier this year. We had, with the help of MCE, we had approved 3 permits. When we had approved those 3 permits, the expectation was that because of our lack of records describing the accurate location of storm laterals, that it was going to be the contractor's responsibility to come up with a method to locate these laterals in the field. The project got started end of July, early August. We started to receive a high volume of phone calls from concerned residents about the condition of their storm laterals. We had come to find out that the contractor wasn't doing anything to try to avoid or locate storm laterals. And we had expressed at a number of meetings and via email our concern that more had to be done. Unfortunately, they continued with no increased effort to try to locate or avoid. Because of that, on the 19th of August, I suspended any additional permit approvals. At that time, they were nearing the completion of the work associated with the 3 permits that we had earlier approved. That got their attention, and then after that, we had met on numerous occasions to talk about what could be done to locate these laterals in the field. And we met with TDS on September 23rd, and that time they had presented to us some practices that they were going to undertake in the field to try to avoid and do a better job of trying to locate these laterals. Those best management practices include raising the depth of the conduit to 18 inches under the earlier permits. They had a buried depth of 36 inches, so they're proposing to bring up the buried depth a foot and a half to try to avoid conflict with a storm lateral. They're also
going to repair the ones that
they have been doing a good job of that. In a lot of cases, if you're standing at the street facing a home, it's known if a home has a storm lateral. You can see where there some pump exits the house and goes into a buried pipe. When it's known from the street that there is one, they're going to do their best to strategically locate their bore pits to align with that visual location. So hopefully that will help expose and locate some of these laterals. And then if they hit one, then a commitment to the village that they're going to go out and make a timely repair.
And we didn't have that before.
Even years down the road.
Okay, so even like mine comes out underneath a porch, you can't see it from the street. So how would they know?
They're going to be standing up throwing a flag.
Put a flag on there.
They're not going to see it then. No, if you were to reach out, if you were aware of the project and you were aware of this issue, you could reach out to them and make them aware of that so that.
Okay. So what happens if a resident's basement floods because there's something can't pump out?
Well, our permitting process requires that they sign an agreement with the village that they're going to warrant their work for 5 years.
Okay.
So if they happen to compromise one's storm lateral in the process of putting in that fiber optic, they have indicated to us a willingness to come back regardless of whether it's one or five. That they're going to come back and fix or repair that lateral. We do have, it's in some cases, our record drawings do show a lateral, and it is tied to a known point so that it can be located in the field. There are, you know, we do have some of those, but most of them are not properly documented to where. To the extent where a locating company will go out and locate that lateral, they won't take on that liability.
I mean, a lot of them, shouldn't say a lot of them, they would typically be somewhere close to the sewer and water lateral, but they'd also might be close to the property line, depending on if there's two houses going together or where there's a storm manhole, there's so many places they could be.
Yeah.
I have no idea where mine goes.
And the village doesn't have anything in a code that says the storm lateral should be placed here or here.
I don't believe so.
No, we don't.
That might be a discussion item, is to say. Of course, you don't have a lot of upcoming development per se, but in a newer subdivision, you might say we want them on a property line.
Well,
somewhere where you can easily do it, but then they're locating them. So.
It's just the proper documentation of a lateral when it goes in, and that has improved. So,
and your gut tell you that raising it up to 18 inches will clear most of them. I mean, we don't know for sure, but it would make sense.
We hope, yeah.
If we're hitting them at 36, maybe we won't be hitting them at 18.
They must be trying to stay away from gas, though, too.
Yes.
Because I was going to say I had to go on 24 inches, but then I'm thinking, there's a lot of gas mains that are 24 inches probably. So,
they'd
rather hit a storm sewer than a gas line.
Well, yeah, and those private utilities are marked before they go into an area and install fiber optics. So, yeah. those are marked, and if they're crossing that facility, they have to pothole that. Yeah. They get a visual that they've safely crossed above or below that facility. The problem with the storm lateral is that we don't have accurate records in, describing the location of yeah. these laterals. It's not. We do have. They're shown in most cases as a line on a map, but it's not tied to any known point, right. and a locator won't take that out in the field and locate that for liability reasons. So,
and there's nothing there to locate. I mean, how yeah. do they locate it?
Right.
there's no wires.
They probably know that, you know. Right. No, you can't. Yeah. No, it's plastic. Right. Yeah.
So if a house does not have a sump pump, it would not have a storm lateral.
That might. It might come out of a gutter.
It could have gutters.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Could have a yard drain in the back.
Yeah.
Well, you're right in most cases. If they don't have a sump, they don't have a lateral. But you know, when we come through on a reconstruct project, an existing property doesn't have a storm lateral, we pull away yeah. regardless yeah. of whether or not they have a sump pump.
Mm, okay.
Because we don't want what we don't want is yep. yeah we don't when we're coming in to pave a street we don't want somebody 2 years from
tearing it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our costs are last year $1,100 on average, was it, to do that per house? $1,112 We thought it was gonna be higher.
Closer to $1,500
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we feared it was gonna be $1,819 or something. Because there was a little bit of good news at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Otherwise, that takes us to agenda item number 10, adjournment.
So moved.
All right. Is there a second? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Adjourn at 6:40-ish. Excellent.